Welcome to Rafa Said It Here, a show about everything and anything that happens in our lives that impacts our mind, body, and spirit. I am so glad that you're joining us today. Welcome to the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Rafa Said It Here. My name is Rafaela Silva, and I'm very excited that you are joining me today for another episode. If this is your first time tuning in and you're listening through Spotify, make sure you hit the follow button and also the little bell on the side so you can get notifications of my latest episodes. If you're listening through Apple or any other platform, make sure that you also hit the follow button and their notification system. So today I'm going to give you a brief overview of emotional intelligence, what is, and also its four pillars. It's one of the things that I'm not only an advocate for, but I'm very passionate about it. It's one of the things that over the course of my life, I have used in order to bring upon balance, peace, and of course, most importantly, recognize my emotions and what they're trying to tell me. And of course, if we have a hold of our emotion, understand what's going on and understand how to regulate them, then we're able to not only be with others and do certain things, but continue to be a contribution to society and to humanity. And of course, complete what it is that we came here to do. But when we don't have that emotional intelligence, language, I would say, we're kind of thrown from place to place. You know, it's kind of like being in the ocean, and whenever the waves come, you're kind of thrown all over the place, not really having any sort of boundaries and ways to maneuver, or, you know, you're just kind of pretty much all over the place. So that was my life for many years. Whenever something happened, things would trigger me really fast, and I became very reactive. And I'm not saying that I'm not reactive, but having the awareness really helped me not to be as reactive as I used to be, because things still do trigger. And that's the good thing that we're triggered, because trigger impacts a specific emotion, and that emotion let us know what could be happening, what it is that we need to do or not to do, or, you know. So today I'm going to be talking about that. What is emotional intelligence, and also the four pillars of emotional intelligence. Okay. So emotional intelligence is the ability to manage both your own emotions, or rather our own emotions, and understand the emotions of people that are around us. Now there are four elements to emotional intelligence, and that is self-awareness, self-regulation, empathy, and social skills. But before we break down these elements, I just want to talk a little bit about emotions. And if I can be safe to say that most of us were not taught how to deal with emotions such as sadness and anger and grief. It's one of those things that people just kind of like pray and hope that time will just solve it, that somehow time will also, you know, will take care of it. And the truth is, sometimes a lot of these things will live in our bodies. We might have been able to talk through it, either with a friend or a therapist or a mentor. But the reality is that a lot of our emotion also are stuck in our bodies, which we'll discuss a little bit when we talk about self-regulation. So some of these emotions are, for the majority of time, are not seen as something that's good. It's always seen as something that's very bad, that is not positive, because people don't know, and most of the time, because we don't know what to do with it. And sometimes people are afraid of it, because a lot of these emotions sometimes, especially when it's especially anger, if it's not regulated, sometimes it could be damaging, could be destructive, if we don't know how to regulate that particular emotion. So it's not a bad emotion. It's an emotion that if it's not regulated, you know, it could cause some damage. So a lot of people sometimes, instead of being curious about what it is that a person might be angry about, they usually shut it down or tell someone, you stop being so angry, or they try to delete it or get rid of it. And the truth of the matter is, I think it makes it worse because people tend to get even more angry. So I think, you know, like I said, I can be safe to say that a lot of us, when it comes to those specific emotions, we were never taught how to deal with them. And whenever we do exude them, like I mentioned, we are quickly told things like, it's going to be okay, or don't cry. I remember when my grandfather died, I bawled into tears. And my grandmother apprehended me and told me to stop crying. And I didn't really quite understand that. Like, well, why do I need to stop crying? She kept saying there was no reason to cry. And of course, it's just to kind of give you some context with my grandma. My grandmother was a cardist, a spiritist, and she believed in reincarnation. So she thought, like, why are you crying? His journey has been completed and he's going to the next, you know, round. But for me as a young woman, I thought that was it, you know, and at the time I was a Christian and, or let's just say I believed in the systematic way of Christianity. And I thought, like, I don't know if my grandfather went to heaven or hell. So I think a lot of my tears, not the fact that I really loved him, I was going to miss him, but not having that understanding or knowing of what was after for him, because at the time, although I did grow up in a spiritist family, I didn't quite embrace it at the time, you know, where I was in my walk in my life. So of course I was shedding a lot of tears, and you know, and I felt like part of me was also gone because my grandfather was my father. He was my first father. He was the one that raised me. So there's a lot of emotions mixed in. So you know, and one of the things that I also understood that, you know, my grandmother that was never taught how to deal with grief, she lost her father when she was 12 years old and she didn't have her mother with her. Therefore, back then, you know, there was her mother was not the most nurturing mother. So my grandmother didn't like tears, and I'm safe to assume that my great grandmother probably would say stop crying, because growing up with my grandmother, every time I cried, it was always this stop crying. So tears were not something that my grandmother knew how to handle. So going back to, you know, when we experience these emotions, we don't know what to do. A lot of us don't know what to do. Sometimes we apologize it, we hide it, or we try to snap out of it. You know, I'm going to run it out. I'm going to wipe my tears. I'm going to do something. Like, we try to mask it with something so that we don't have to feel those emotions. And a lot of times also, we create stories such as, you know, oh, this person would want me to be happy, or, you know, or not cry around corners, you know. So no matter what stories we tell ourselves, right, the reality is there is nothing to be done but to really welcome it and see what it has to say. There is a poem by Rumi. For those of you that are familiar with Rumi, he has a poem, and I don't know if I can find it quick enough, that talks about, you know, and I'm just going to summarize it, you guys. But it talks about how sorrows, they come to bring some good fortune from above or from afar. Basically what he's saying is, if sorrow arrives, welcome it in, you know, let it have a sit, you know, see what it has to say, have a conversation with our sorrow. And so, you know, like I said, our emotions sometimes are not something that we're taught. We're taught how to handle, how to deal with it, how to manage it. But I want to say that our emotions is really are superpowers. If we are able to be with it, if we're able to be with any emotion, it is such a superpower because, and I will be honest, even though it can, some of them can be very, very hurtful, very challenging, very hard to deal with. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. Some emotions are very hard, are very difficult to deal with. But if we can be with it, if we can be with it and go into the depths of what it might be trying to tell us, what could reveal to us could be transformative, or my favorite word, transmutable, into something else. So again, our emotions are our superpowers if we are willing to use the tools or the elements which I'm about to talk about with you in order to transmute them into something beautiful. So the first pillar of emotion intelligence is self-awareness. Now, self-awareness is when we're able to recognize our own emotions, as I mentioned, and look at how they impact our actions. I'm going to say that one more time. So emotion intelligence, the first pillar is, you know, self-awareness, is when we're able to recognize our own emotions and look at how they impact our actions. Now, so for example, let's take anger. Let's take anger, for example. You could be angry at something that happened, like someone being hurt and nothing was done about the safety of the care of that human being. These are things that stirs up anger inside of us because we feel like it's injustice. And a lot of us are taught to not do anything. So we hold that anger inside because we feel sometimes in certain instances, situations, we feel that we're helpless. Now, if you take, because we're just angry, we're not understanding why we're angry. We're not defining the anger. We're not going into the depths of why, what that makes us so angry. So if you're to look at someone who's gotten hurt, and it might be connected to a personal thing that you went through, a personal, but maybe you went through the same thing and that triggered that pain that's inside of you and that made you angry. And so understanding why the anger is present, it is the first step of having that awareness of why you're feeling that specific emotion. So self-awareness is the first pillar of emotion intelligence, understanding why we're feeling what we're feeling. I remember when my goddaughter passed away. She was only 25. And I was angry with God for a long time. Like, I was super angry. Even though I understood the process of death, even though I understood that, you know, these things happen, even though I had that clear understanding of it, I was still very, very angry because I didn't understand why she had to go so soon at 25 years old with a young daughter. So when I began that grieving process, that which I think I cried for the whole entire year, I began to ask, begin to ask questions, why? But I began to understand what that her death and the anger that I was feeling was causing inside of me. And I think one of the things that I discovered at the time is that I was fearful. I became fearful of my own death. What was underneath that anger was a fear of my own death. And another thing that was also revealed to me was that I didn't trust God. I didn't trust God to be this loving God that people were talking about. Because I felt like, oh, if he's this loving God, why did he allow, this girl went through so many things, cancer, lupus, had a 5-year-old just started her life. Like, what the heck? So at the time, I was angry because I felt like I don't trust this God, So that's what was underneath my anger. So understanding, having that awareness allows us for us to begin to use tools that could help us regulate that emotion, or, you know, and regulating allows us to deal with it, right? So with that being said, I want us to take a moment right now and think about what emotions that you're experiencing right now. If there's any emotion that is uncomfortable that you don't want to experience, such as pain, resentment, anger, grief, shame, guilt, anything that you might be experiencing right now that is not comfortable, that you wish that you weren't experienced, but what is it really trying to tell you? You know, so if you want to take a moment, think about it, maybe get a piece of paper, you know, begin to write it down, you know, and you ask questions such as, what is this emotion revealing to me at this very moment? And be honest, there's no one is going to come after you being angry at you or just going to scold you for being honest about how you're feeling, okay? But this is a good moment to really become aware of what your emotions are really showcasing for you. Is it a story of sadness? Who are you angry with, or and why? Or at what are you angry with and why? Do you feel shame? You know, and if you are dealing with grief, what is your grief telling you? Now, this could have many layers, because sometimes what my review to you is that the stories that you have told or telling yourself are false. So the moment that you begin to, let's say if you're angry, like I said, I was angry at God, and one could look at that first layer and think, oh, of course she was angry with God, because her goddaughter was 25, just starting her life, just got her scholarship, just had a daughter, right? Dealt with lupus, cancer, and all of that. So one could say, I was angry at God because of that. And trust me, my first layer, I would say, was that. But then as I began to, you know, dig deeper, I realized what was underneath that was my own fear of death and also not trusting God to be a loving God. So as you begin to look at that space, to look at that emotion, what's going to start happening is you're going to start removing these layers, and then you're going to get to see what's really, really underneath it all. And you're going to also see that even the stories that you told yourself as to why you're angry might not be true. Okay. And sometimes what we're actually seeking, I think, when it comes to sometimes with anger, is to feel safe, to have assurance, to know if you're doing the right thing, or feel seen and understood, you know, be held, and know that you're loved and accepted as you are. And I think sometimes what's underneath a lot of anger is really that. It's that need for being held and feeling safe and being loved, where you start thinking about the times that things could have happened to you, right? So all of that sometimes stirs up anger. You know, so when you begin to do that, I think you begin to look at those layers, and you begin to tell yourself, like, this is what I really, 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 really want. And that's why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling. So what happens at the time when you begin to deal with the real reasons as to why the emotions are there, and you begin to understand why those emotions are there, you begin to develop what I like to call a listening for, meaning what is the story really trying to tell me, as opposed to a listening to, which is accepting what is being said to be true. You know, like I said, what is being said is, oh, she was so young, da da da. But what's really what was underneath was, I'm afraid, you know, I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing, and I want to make sure that I'm loved, right? And so you begin to develop that listening for, meaning what is it trying to tell me, as opposed to what I think is saying. So that's what happens when we begin to sit with our emotions and begin to look at them, begin to see what it is they're trying to tell us. You know, that first pillar is called self-awareness, becoming awareness of those emotions and where they also and where they are in our bodies, which kind of will lead us into the second pillar, which is self-regulation. Now, self-regulations are ways we can manage our emotions in a healthy way. So, as you know, our emotion impacts our nervous system and it causes it to be dysregulated, or what people would like to say, as you might know, triggers. You know, somebody might say something, do something, and it triggers us. Now, the important thing about self-regulation is that if we don't know how to do it, if we don't know how to regulate ourselves, we don't have tools to regulate ourselves, because each emotion will cause something different, and each emotion would also ask for a specific type of tool in order to regulate, you know, that emotion. So, which I'll go over with you guys in just a second as well. But if we don't know how to regulate ourselves, if we don't know how to, if we don't have the tools to regulate ourselves, we ended up looking for other things to regulate our nervous system. Normally, when the nervous system is dysregulated or triggered, it goes into what we call a sympathetic state, fight, which is stands for fight or flight. We either want to fight somebody or take off, right? Because we feel there's a threat. And so most of the times, if we don't have the tools to regulate ourselves, what happens is, like I said, we choose other sources of regulation. So what are other sources of regulation? Other sources of regulations are alcohol, substance, sometimes some sort of drugs or any substance that alters our emotional state, that brings upon relaxation, that brings upon calmness, that brings upon, you know, happiness, whatever the hormones that needs to be, you know, regulated. It's what it brings us. Now, I'm not condoning the use of anything. I'm not here to talk about, you know, drugs or alcohol or, you know, and it's not just drugs and alcohol. It's also sex, food, shopping, right? Anything that's going to, you feel, whatever your choice of regulation is. And again, I'm not speaking against or for anything. However, when we seek outside sources of regulation, sometimes it becomes, some of these things can become addictive. And some of these things can also have an impact on our health and our bodies and also our surroundings. So if you use money and shopping in order to make yourself feel good, feel better, and if you're not watching your finances, it could turn into an addiction, and it could impact your budget. It could impact, you know, what it is that you might need money for, right? Some people, there have been situations where money became an addiction, or spending became an addiction to the point where they didn't have any money to take care of their basic needs. Again, with certain substance like alcohol, it can become addictive, and people can develop alcoholism. So the list goes on of things that if you choose to keep using outside sources to regulate your nervous system, eventually those things will have an impact on your life. Okay. When our system is dysregulated and we're not using anything, we're not regulating, it could cause stress, and also, and with stress comes other ailments. It is so important that we learn to self-regulate our nervous system, because when we feel because how we feel and will impact our environment, as I mentioned, and also those around us, how we respond to others, and how we also treat ourselves. Okay. So the reason why it's important to understand self-regulation is because it does have an impact on us. Not to mention, we continue to store the pain and whatever those emotions is in our bodies. And like I mentioned, it causes other types of ailments. So what are some of these tools that you can use or practice for self-regulation. So one of my biggest one, the one that I love the most, which I find that whenever we're dealing with something, and this could be, this one can be done anywhere, any place, at any moment, no matter where you are, and that is to go back to your breath. What do I mean by that, going back to your breath? It's to literally close your eyes and breathe. Just remember that the breath is there. It's to because for me, breath is life. Breath is a reminder that we're one with the universe, we're one with the creator, we're one with God, we're one with mother. Breath is to me the first thing that I remember to do when I feel that my body has been triggered. So I take a deep breath so that I can be reminded, okay, it's going to be okay. I'm here. And there are things that I can still do to solve whatever this problem is, right? So breathing is one of the first, the one that I recommend the most whenever you feel that your body is dysregulated. And it also allows you to, you know, like I said, bring your body into what's called a parasympathetic system, which is when your body is calm, is the opposite of fight and flight. You're, you know, you begin to reconnect to your body, and you begin to, you know, this, you do, as you do a lot of breathing exercise, you begin to develop the sense of safety within your own body, okay? The second thing, the second tool that I usually recommend for self-regulation is to go out in nature. You don't have to be there all day long or do anything. Something as simple as walking in the grass. If you have grass nearby where you live, just go and put your foot in the grass. For those that are near ocean, go to the beach for a few minutes. Put your feet in the sand or in the water, okay? I'm also big in water. Sometimes sitting under a shower if you're not somewhere, you know, where you can immerse yourself in water, or going into a pool. I love swimming. I sometimes, when there's a lot going on, I immerse myself in water. If there's no pool where you live, go take a bath. A bath also, like I said, being inside the water helps, allows you to regulate that nervous system. Another tool is writing. Writing out, especially when you have been able to identify that emotion, write it out. I remember many years ago, one of my mentors, I was dealing with something that had impacted my body, and it was caused some post-traumatic syndrome that I had. And one of the things he had me do, he said, Rafaela, you know, write a letter to that person, write a letter to God, and write a letter to yourself. And I started out writing a letter to that person, and I wrote a letter to God, and then I wrote a letter to myself. When I wrote a letter to God, I was so upset. But he said to me, be honest. Be honest on how you really, truly feel. And I remember writing and saying, I told God that he was, what did I call him? And when I say him, you guys, just for the sake of clarity and easiness, I believe that God is all of us, okay? But just for the sake of conversation, I'm referring to God as a he. But I remember, yes, I remember saying that he was egotistical is what I called it. So being able to be honest about that emotion, be honest about how I felt about it at the time, allowed me to say, okay, now what's next? Now how are we going to work through this? And the beauty of that writing was that when I got to write the letter for myself, like a letter to myself, there was so much love involved for me. And I think it was one of the first times that I ever wrote a letter to myself where I was loving towards myself. Because by the time I got all that stuff out, right, I was able to look and see the beauty that was within me. Another thing, another tool that is really great is singing or humming. That vibration of humminess also allows your body to go into parasympathetic state. So I like a mantra called OM. It's a very, very powerful mantra. And for those of you that like meditating or meditate, which is one of the tools also, which I was going to mention, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more. But OM, like vibration, just, you know, humming or doing the those things again begins to also, it's a tool to get you to be in the parasympathetic state of your nervous system. Singing is also another tool, you know, singing songs that are good, that makes you feel good. Again, that vibration, it allows that, you know, some of those things that are stored in the body. Now, the thing I just want to also mention, and I'm going to give you a few more. As you begin to do these tools, I just want to just share that in certain cases, it might not be right away. It might be sometimes a little bit later. You might go through a series of shedding tears. You might start crying. Out of nowhere, you just might like burst into tears, and that's okay. All that means is that you're releasing what was stored in the body. Okay? So don't make it like, oh my God, don't make it as anything. It's what that means. What tears is doing is it's liberating that amount of whatever was stored in the body. And it's also releasing toxins. Because remember, if it's inside the body, it can become toxic. So what tears do when they liberate that emotion is also removing the toxins that that emotion was causing to your body. So cry away, okay? Another one that I mentioned is meditating. Meditating could be as simple as sitting somewhere quietly and just listening to your breath. There are also some guided meditations that you can follow if that's something that you're interested in. If that is, I do have a couple of meditations on my Patreon, A New Life School. So if you go to patreon.com/A New Life School, you're going to find there two guided meditations. One is one on forgiveness, the other one is just a simple guided meditation. You can follow those things as well, okay? Or any other meditations that you might find in other places. Another tool that it's really powerful as well is something called emotional freedom technique. Now, emotional freedom technique, I wish we were on video. I could definitely show it to you guys how to do it, but it's also called tapping. And you're tapping your meridian points within your body. So one in the hand, that one in your, most of it in your face area, some in your, right below your collarbone, under your arm, and above your head. Also on Patreon, I have a thing on EFT. So if you go to any life school community on Patreon, it will also be there as well. Okay. So these are just some tools that I normally use in order to, you know, self-regulate so that I can, I'm able to not be in that fight or flight, sometimes fawn or freeze state, right? It allows me to identify where my emotions are, regulate my body so that I don't go looking for something outside of myself in order to regulate it, okay? So when we learn to self-regulate, we also are able to build our capacity, which is my favorite thing, to be with others. So if my emotions are self-regulated, if I was able to regulate it so I can be with other people's communication, I'm not going to be as reactive, as angry, you know, or take things out on people because I'm dysregulated, okay? So, which enables also to receive co-regulation. So what's co-regulation? Co-regulation is not the same as looking for an outside substance to regulate us. Co-regulation is when we are with people that are safe, that people that are like getting a hug from someone, cuddling, you know, being in the presence of people that are making us laugh, being around animals. Animals are also great co-regulation. They're great co-regulators. Let's just say that. Okay. So all of those things, when we do have, when we have put when we have, I don't want to use the word master, but when we have learned to self-regulate, then we are able to, like I said, we build the capacity to be with others, which leads into the third pillar of emotional intelligence. And that is empathy. Okay. Empathy in emotional intelligence is the ability to be with other people's emotion and offer them comfort. So let's say you're dealing with grief, and you have understood why the grief is there, and you have used your tool of self-regulation, then you're able to be with someone else's grief. You are able to just be there for them, create a space for them to cry, to be, to shout, to share, whatever that is that they're dealing, that grief is actually showing to them. It enables you to do, because if you are not understanding why you're grieving, if you're not understanding, if you don't have this self-regulation, if someone comes to you and they're grieving, it's going to trigger you, right? Because you don't have a hold on that. But if you are regulated and someone comes and says, I'm dealing with this, not only you'll be able to be with that emotion, with that person, but you also will be able to, which I'm going to share in just a bit, be able to contribute something to them, okay, which is the fourth pillar we're going to talk about in just a second, okay? So empathy, again, allows you to, is the ability to be with other people's emotion and offer them comfort. When you have understood those two pillars of self-awareness and the self-regulation, your level of emotion capacity increases and you're able to be present, like I said, be present to others. And the idea of offering comfort can come in so many ways, right? So which is brings us to our fourth pillar. Now, the fourth pillar in emotional intelligence is called social skills. And social skills enables us to effectively communicate with others. So this is where, for instance, since we're talking about grief, it can be transmuted. Transmute means something being in one state and turning into another state. Like, for example, the butterfly was a caterpillar, and then after going through the cocoon space, it becomes a butterfly, right? Two different types of species, per se. So when we have the self-awareness and we take what we have discovered through self-awareness, and then we are able to regulate ourselves, right? That regulation does what? Increases capacity in our own emotional system that enables us to be with other people's emotion, which is empathy. And that empathy eventually enables us to effectively communicate. So now we're taking everything and say, you know what? I think I want to create something for people dealing with their anger. I think I want to create something people dealing with their grief. I think I want to create people dealing with injustice. Whatever that is that you were able to have the awareness, that can be transmuted into things that can help other people. Okay. And that means you can be of service to others that have gone through the same things that you have gone through and have experienced. In other words, you can contribute to your community, to those that are around you, to your family, to whomever it's needing what you have to offer, because you have gotten a hold of your own emotions. But most importantly, okay, emotion intelligence allows you to become aware of your own existence and that our lives, this is to me the most important thing, although passes so fast in this round, matters, and that what we have to contribute to humanity will live on even when we're no longer here. So emotion intelligence for me is so important, because if we have these four pillars balanced, then we're able to really live out our mission. We're able to really live out what it is that we're here to do. Or like, what's the Dr. Miles Monroe often says, you know, he said, I wanted to live here empty, meaning like everything that I was given, everything that I was able to do, every pain that I've experienced, and the lessons that it gave me, everything that it instructed me, everything. If we had the awareness of our emotions, it also means that we can expand, because I believe they're here for our souls to expand. So emotion intelligence, if we every day wake up with the intentionally said, what are my emotions telling me today? Again, it doesn't mean that you have to solve everything all at once, but I think living with that intent of checking our emotion intelligence, I think allows us to be able to contribute to, I would even be safe to say, to quicker, instead of sitting with something for so long, enables us to deal with things a little bit faster, which also increases our quality of life, right? And like I said, and be that contribution to others, but mostly to ourselves, mostly to our growth, mostly to our expansion and our evolution in this earth. You guys, that's all I got for you guys today. I hope you guys enjoyed as much as I enjoyed talking about it. if you have any questions, any thoughts, send me a DM. You can find me on Instagram at @IM Rafaela Silva, or A New Life School. Like I said, you can shoot me a DM on either one of those platforms, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. Again, I'll see you guys next time. Thank you for joining me. Bye-bye. Hey, you guys. Don't forget to check out RafaelaSilva.com, where you're going to find healing tools, coaching sessions, and, of course, resources to uncover your purpose and help you see what's possible. See you on the inside.